Welcome to Fist Draw Wild, everybody. I'm your host, Matt, and this month we have kind of something that we've been doing lately is a 2.0 episode where we revisit a previous subject. We are revisiting our only musical episode so far. I think that feels right. We have two guests with us, a returning guest, Riley. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, my friend. I'm happy to defend the honor of pop punk here in this court.
We're going to have some fun times. Now, I know some listeners may be concerned. I do want to go ahead and just put it out there. We're not going to be yelling about Robin for an entire hour this time. Just as a brief aside, have you seen the pictures coming out of the Teen Titans set? And what is with these costumes?
Okay, so here again, we're going to slightly argue here. They're not production photos, so they obviously they don't look stellar because they're just a dude on his cell phone walking away. However, that Raven imagining with production things, nailed it. Looking at what that Beast Boy looked like, they'll probably post-pro green on him. Look wonderful. Starfire, I'm here for it. I think they look good, especially if you look at Gabriel Piccolo's redrawings of them. It shows how those are powerful outfits, and especially once we see those post-production photos, they're going to look great. I just wish that they would have showed them faster.
Yeah, that's a fair point. This has been our Titans review minute. When that show comes out, we're probably going to have to get on and yell about that, too.
Titans tight minute.
It's going to be great. Our second guest is a new voice to this podcast. I imagine a lot of our audience probably knows him from his own that he'll talk about later, and potentially from Lost Library that he is a member on as well. Welcome our new guest, Travis. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I got a golf clap from Riley. Hey, thanks for having me. And we're rolling with a theme now because this is the second month where you've had Lost Library cast on, because
it's true.
Riley and I are both part of that beautiful thing that you're doing. Yeah.
It's very good, and we will talk about that at the end as well. So,
yep.
So, Travis, you are the new guest.
I am.
What are we talking about this month?
We're revisiting punk rock.
Mm-hmm. All right. In the spirit of fairness and giving and cooperation, and the fact that y'all are both playing just horrible, shitty teens on Lost Library.
Yeah.
Riley's had an entire episode to air his views, so I want to open up first to Travis. Talk to us a little bit, and you're going to kind of kick this dialogue off.
Okay.
What even is punk? What even is?
Oh, man. This is going to get philosophical if you want to give it to me. Why punk is beautiful. It you can search punk and find it, but what it is, what it attracts, why I was attracted to it is there is such passion in that music. And I'm not saying that other music doesn't have passion, but punk wears its passion on its sleeve. And I love that. That has always been a thing that when somebody's doing the damn thing and you just feel the fire, that's what brought me to punk rock. And I think good punk rock, you're going to feel that fire every track you listen to. And I think that the Riley's probably going to agree with me on that point. We're going to probably argue at some point or another in this show. But
it's going to be very good and very fun, yeah.
But yeah, at this point, this is common ground. Let's build from common places.
The idea that punk rock is full of passion and you feel that energy in every song, I can't deny that. That is true. That is the truest shit about punk. It is just all energy all the time.
Absolutely.
I love that we're starting from a place of unity and connectedness, and we'll probably rip it all down when we get to some genre distinctions. As a boilerplate warning to both you two and to our listeners, I am self-described as music dumb. If I find a song I like, I just consume it until I can't stand it anymore and then move on, like an audio locust. About the only thing punk that I'm really functionally familiar with, besides what we discussed last time we did when Riley and I had that conversation, is steampunk. And mainly Abney Park that I've been mainlining for a different podcast entirely. Feel free to mock at will. If you haven't listened to it, though, go listen to it. End of
it
day.
It's not the punk way to mock.
Circus at the End of the World are both very good. And that's about my input for this episode in terms of actual functional knowledge of what's going on. I am aware of who the Who is.
I mean, hey, that's good. That's not quite punk, but like, I get it. Like, that's chill.
Like, I did buy the an album whose artist I have now forgotten. The London call the Clash, Crash, Clash.
Yes,
London
the Clash. Calling.
Yeah,
it's a quintessential album.
I own that album. It's very good.
I share a birthday with the lead singer, Joe Strummer, actually.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very
nice.
Okay. So I know that eventually we're going to get to a place of contention. We don't want to hit there yet. We don't want to get all up in arms quite yet. Let's start off easy.
Okay.
Each of y'all, tell me your favorite punk band and your favorite punk song from them. Go, Travis.
That's a wreck of a question.
That's what I'm here to do. I throw wrenches in gears.
Do you need time to think? Because I think I have something out the gate right now.
Okay, yeah, go. Because so I need time to think.
Yeah, I... punk, like, my favorite band oscillates wildly. Like, that is something that changes day to day to day to day. Currently, right now, I am listening to The Wonder Years, who I think are some of the finest lyricists in this post-pop punk landscape that we have. They just came out with a album, Sister Cities, a few days ago. And honestly, it's all beautiful. Like, the lyricism is gorgeous, and it's all about dealing with loss in such a fucking beautiful way. My favorite song by them at the moment, again, very hard. I think just because I've studied it so much today, because I just sit and listen to the song on repeat and read the lyrics, and I'm on genius.com going, oh, what is this annotation? Raining in Kyoto is really, really good because it has that driving presence of a storm of rain while also dealing with the loss of the lead singer's grandfather, as he finding out about that as he got on the plane to fly to Japan for this tour. And so it has the lyric in the first chorus is, you're half asleep, and I bought you a radio to drown out the machines. Hospital lights, you asked about the weather, I wish they'd let you go outside. That is sad already, talking about, you know, his dying grandfather. And then the second chorus, where it mirrors that, is, you're half awake, I bought you a radio to play the blues away. With my hand to hold, you asked about the weather, I wish they'd let you die at home. Like, that is such, like, because it goes from hopeful and that belief that it's like, it could be okay, this is frustrating, but we're going to make it, to the resignation that we're not make it, and I don't know how to deal with that. And being an ocean away and not being able to be there for the funeral or being able to be there for the reception, leading to this song about being in the rain in Tokyo sobbing, is the truest shit. I love it. Travis, what's your favorite punk song?
Oh, man. Now that we've gone like real dark.
Yeah, came in with a banger there.
That's my favorite kind of punk music, my dude, is that like heavy emotional shit.
Okay, you know what? I think I'm going to go with one of my favorites, and I'm going to go dark too. You went dark, I'm going to go dark. One of my favorite dark songs, and it's about dealing with heroin addiction. Mm-hmm. Because this band has all struggled with it. And that band is Leftover Crack, and the song is called Heroin or Suicide. And at one point in the song, because we're quoting dark song lyrics here, the lead singer says, Jesus nailed to wooden tees cannot compete with my disease. That shit is dark and serious. But at the same time, it's a really good song. Like, it still has that energy and passion when dealing with something that should be like wearing you down. And they're still coming with that fire. That's crazy and great.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at them now. They're assigned to Fat Records. Fat Records is a lot of good bands, man.
You know, they've left a couple of record labels because they didn't agree with them. Like, they were signed with Hellcat at one point.
Yeah, I see that.
And Tim Armstrong signed somebody that was a true Rastafarian to the label, and they don't agree with the homophobia that the Rastafarians are kind of real big into, so they wrote a song about it and left Hellcat.
Dude, I like that. That's what I love about the Wonder Years is they just kicked Sorority Noise off their fucking tour because the lead singer of Sorority Noise is a awful human now. Like, that has come to light. And so, like, I love when a band is willing to, like, be like, no, we're going to die on this hill.
Yeah, they straight up wrote a song called Gay Rude Boys and Girls Unite and left Hellcat.
Hell yes, hell yes, hell yes. Man, Tim Armstrong, fucking look over your groups.
Now, he's problematic too, and I love Tim Armstrong as an artist. I love Rancid. I've seen them in concert. I loved Op Ivy. But, I mean, it's one of those separate the artist from the artist, or the art from the artist kind of moments sometimes.
What has Tim Armstrong done, actually? I don't know about this, and I like to be.
Okay, from what I understand, he might have smacked up some Brody Dale, his former wife, the lead singer of the Distillers.
Jesus.
Yeah. That was the thing that I had heard. I don't know if it's true. I'm not going to quote it as gospel fact, but that is what I heard round the way. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
I'm looking that up now. Yeah. That's such a fucking thing in punk music that is frustrating to me, is the fact that, like, while it can be a home for a lot of really good troubled acts and troubled people, like, there is so much fucking blatant garbage that exists within it because people try to take advantage of the genre and the scene, or B, are just like, you taken a person who has bad tendencies and given them a higher, like, pillar. That sucks.
That said, I'm pretty sure Tim has gotten way more sober than he was at that time, and has kind of cleaned up his act. So I'm not one of those people that you do a bad thing and you are forever a garbage monster. Everybody has the ability to change. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair. Yeah, totally. I'm just looking into this now because I didn't know. And changing is something that's important.
It is. We are all growing and changing. And that is why we are here today to discuss punk rock music. This may be getting way too heavy. This is like the heaviest fifth draw. What did you do, Matt?
I mean, listen, y'all aren't going to hurt me because y'all aren't JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and or Sailor Moon. So we're fine.
Yeah. Music in itself comes from, and especially punk music, comes from a place of pain that, like, you grow from. It's learning to take that pain and become, and use it to, like, form a shell or form a person that you become. Like, that's what I love about it, is because, like I said in the last one, like, punk is for anybody who has nowhere else to go. And, like, that, like, kind of, like, feeling of a chip on your shoulder and, like, anger and frustration is, like, is core to my take on the genre. And so, yeah, man, like, any episode about music is gonna be sad.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's where I came to punk rock too, because we're channeling back quite a few years now, because I'm easily the oldest person on this podcast.
I turned 25 yesterday, so.
Oh, you sweet baby child. I could almost but not quite be your dad.
I'm watching Matt stare down and just like almost I can see age hitting your bones.
I'm feeling some bones crumble to dust. It's not as bad as it could be.
Matt, I'm older than you too, buddy.
Oh, listen, I'm not gonna argue with you. I will let you take that burden. So I want to dig in more on this. Like, you're talking about punk as being a place for people who have nowhere else to go. Now, yeah. What are some of the kind of the other, like, I guess, rallying calls that punk is? Like, there's the whole idea, and I'm coming to this maybe more as like a literary genre, which I probably still a little bit similar. Punk is always in some ways like an active rebellion against some kind of authority, right?
Well.
Yeah, but the sound of both of us going,
That was great. That was exactly what I wanted. No part of that could have gone better.
Like, to a degree, like, actually, no, Travis, you.
Okay, well, see, here's the problem when you're trying to say punk. Punk is a big banner. This is a big tent in which we are living right now. And there's a bunch of shub genres. Yeah, Let's try that again.
One more again?
Sub
one more again.
Genres. There we go. That's the thing that I'm trying to say.
That's how words work.
That's how words... It's not just random sounds that spew forth from my mouth. So there's a lot of subgenres, and not all of them are all active about rebellion. I mean, oi as a subgenre of punk is about... like the working class dude and just paying your dues and you're good friends with these people. This is your brotherhood. And it's very, I mean, oi is very heavy bass driven, as a subgenre. And the choruses are all very sing songy. Like if you're drunk at a bar, you would want to sing along with this and it would be easy for you to do. And that's like a hallmark of like oi style of punk rock.
You know, when you were describing that, the first thing that popped in my head before you said, like, if you were drunk in a bar, I was like, oh, that sounds like it came right out of just, like, an English town pub.
It literally came from the West End of London is where Oi originated. Bands like the first Oi band, because we can historically mark that, because they wrote a song called Oi, 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 was the Cockney Rejects.
That's... a beautiful name, and I love it already.
you can see like that genre's effect on punk and pop punk music, as far as like the idea of sing-songy choruses in like a lot of Tony Sly's work from like No Use for a Name and like his solo shit. Because he has songs like Live or Let Die, which are like all about like talking and like singing together and being a unit that is all like a bunch of broken pieces that make up one large unit. To me, more than rebellion, punk is about finding the energy within yourself to push through your hardships.
So would you also say that it's about finding your people?
Yes. Sometimes your people is alone. Sometimes your people are like, I'm alone. And there are other people that are also alone. And so like together we are a thing. Like
we can be alone together. Yeah.
Yeah, alone together.
We are an island, and we're okay.
Yeah. Yep. I love it. And like, that's what I love about pop punk is it made punk accessible for me as a teenager, and then also like, pop punk and emo hit exactly how like I was feeling at a time. And so it got me into like the deeper layers of punk. Here, I want to ask a question to Travis. What was the first punk CD you ever bought on your own?
Ooh, the first one I ever bought on my own. Let me think back to the hoary days of my first CD purchase as a punk
now, Travis,
rocker.
Well, do we need to expand that to include
cassettes
Betamax, 8-tracks,
vinyls? Oh, you hopping on the Travis's old bandwagon. I see,
what
Matt.
What sheet music Joax. Did you get?
I have all the Joax.
The very first punk rock album I bought. Ooh, let's see. You know what? I bought the Complete Misfits box set. Was my very first thing. Like the coffin box. If you've ever seen it, I think you can still find them around. They're hard to find. It came with my Fiends Club pin membership badge and everything. So like, yeah, I'm official. I've got that pin somewhere in my house right now with the Crimson Ghosts image on it. And actually I think it's pinned to a jacket somewhere.
Hell yeah. I'm looking at the box set right now on Google image search. That is a nice set. My first one, and this will, as many things in life tend to, this will date me. I bought Rock Against Bush Volume 1.
Whoa.
April 20th, 2004 was my first punk rock album that had, you know, None More Black, Alkaline Trio, The Epoxies, Anti-Flag, Against Me, The Offspring, Rise Against, Ascendance, DOA, Strung Out, Strike Anywhere, Bad Religion, The Ataris, Pennywise, Denali, NoFX, Newfound Glory, Less Than Jake featuring Billy Bragg, and Social Distortion. It's like, it's such a huge album with so many great goddamn songs on it.
That's an all-star list, actually. Most of those. I mean, I remember when Strung Out first came out on Fat Records, and Bring Out Your Dead. That was my jam when that first came out. I loved it.
Yep. They're so good. There's so much of that built who I was after that. Like, I heard Against Me for the first time with Sink Florida Sink Electric, and I was like, oh shit, I love this. Warbrain by Alkaline Trio was my favorite shit off of that album. And then, like, God, Give It All by Rise Against. Like, there's so much good, and, like, it opens you up to such a way to every subgenre of punk in that way, where you okay. get the pop punk. Oh, what's up?
A weird story about Rise Against. Before I ever knew who they were, I was down in Columbus, mm-hmm. and we're just walking around with me and my buddy Johnny Broken Bones, because I need to give him his appropriate punk rock nickname.
That's really good.
That's
a good fucking. That's a solid fucking pop punk rock nickname.
Yeah, we could tell that story, but that's Johnny's story, and I don't want to expose it to the masses. I'll give it to you off mic.
Fair.
Here for it.
You know, and he's like, "Hey, you want to go to see a show?" I'm like, "Okay, cool." We had no plans. We just wandered around and walked into this bar, and Rise Against was the main act that night at this crappy little club that was like this hole in the wall dirt bar, and it was real good. It was a real good time.
They're such a good show. I saw them at Lala when they were I think they were going off of Appeal to Reason, and it was just like damn, I love this shit so much. Now, were you ever in a band? Were you ever in a punk band?
No, I have very little musical talent.
That's fine for punk music. Neither did Sid Vicious.
He was actually unplugged most of the time. I don't
Thank
know if you
God.
Know that.
I hate that fucking dude so much.
You know what? What's weird is, okay, can we harken back? Can we just harken back to when you did Punk 1.0?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And like you were like, the Sex Pistols are so shitty.
Johnny Rotten specifically.
Yeah.
Fucking Johnny Rotten.
You've got to understand that the Sex Pistols were basically the boy band of punk rock. A producer got those guys together.
Yeah.
That wasn't a thing that they formed on their own. They was like, you guys are all punk and angry. Let's do a thing. And Sid Vicious is actually a tragic nightmare. The dude's mom bought him heroin for his birthday. That's fucked up. You did not have a good life.
Yeah, like
I'm not saying he's not a piece of shit. I'm just saying there's a reason he probably was a piece of shit.
Yeah, they're manufactured for sure, and like that's like the shit I hate is that they then like their image and like the fucking taint of the Sex Pistols like hovers over punk music in such a despicable way. I think
right.
everyone kind of hates Johnny Rotten now, especially like Google Johnny Rotten, the first video result: Johnny Rotten defends Trump. Like fuck Johnny Rotten.
Yeah, and I agree, but some of his old interviews, because he's famously a bad interview, are amazing to watch, the level of asshole he will go to. I remember there was a documentary about the Sex Pistols, one of too many, and this lady was, they sent the new girl, because everybody knows you don't interview Johnny Rotten is a bad idea, and like, she's outside of Cannes where this is debuting, and she's like, I'm with, and then she stumbled on a word, and Johnny Rotten just looks at her and goes, oh, you fucked up, you heifer, didn't you? And yep, she was like, yep. What? He's like, I'm done. And she's like, what? Like, he made this girl cry. He's just like, nope, you stumbled, I'm done, I'm out.
I hate his ass so goddamn much. And
he's a trash monster, but it's fun to watch him be a trash monster sometimes.
I get that. Like, I read Sex Pistols 90 Days at Emmy, I think. I'm trying to look over and figure out which, because I read a Sex Pistols autobiography, because I'm one of those people that need to know fucking everything about the music I enjoy. But, like, as I said in Punk 1.0, like, the conformist nature that the Sex Pistols bring under the guise of anti-conformity is so frustrating. And, like, to act punk, you must be mean to people is something that Johnny Rotten loves to do. And it is such a gatekeepy way, like the way that Johnny Rotten is like a gatekeeper for punk. It is frustrating to me because I just want people to feel accepted in the genre.
I don't think we're going to argue as much as we thought we were going to. I'm sorry, Matt. We're just not going to give you that fire because we're both.
Well, here I can tell you about. I can talk about pop punk. I can talk about 2003, 2008, the height of the punk genre. Academy is Fall Out Boy. You got fucking. Let's see here. You got Green Day at their height with American Idiot, one of the finest albums. Boxcar Racers album. Like, you got a lot of good stuff that time frame.
Man, Green Day. My favorite Green Day song is got to be their cover of Talking About My Generation.
Yeah, that's really good because fucking Billy Joe like fucking does the whole like, why don't you all just fade away? Like, he leans into it.
Yeah, that's my favorite Green Day. I'm sorry, that is not the height of Green Day for me.
That's fair. Like, American Idiot's album, like, is something that hit me in middle school, and I just listened to it non-goddamn stop. Like, that and Warning are my two favorite albums by them, because it is that kind of, like, Warning is that connection point between American Idiot and The Time Before, which a lot of people are sour on, but, like, man, like, I don't know, like, what do you think about pop punk? Like, straight up. Like, straight up, no holds barred, what do you think about pop punk?
I've got no problem with it, because you've got to remember, when I came up into punk rock, that's when pop punk was really starting to get going. I mean, NoFX and Fat Records was definitely a force that's out there.
How about we talk real fast, both of y'all, about what makes pop punk different from any other punk genre? Like, split these genres down for me, guys.
Oh,
what makes pop punk different? You go, Travis.
Okay. The thing that is defining for me that you're not going to find in a lot of other genres of punk is, I mean, it's honestly vocals. Vocals more than anything to me, because
really?
They're clean and they're good. Versus a lot of punk rock singers elsewhere, it's a scream, but it's a real harsh, rough scream, or it's not the best singing. I mean, the lyrics and the passion are there, but generally speaking, with pop punk, you've got somebody that's got some real clean vocals going. Mm-hmm. Like, I could never be a pop punk boy because I would sound like shit if I were to try to sing. I could be a regular punk rock boy, but not a pop punk boy.
Yeah, like, pop punk is like just a lot more produced, like what he's saying. It is they work real hard to in like the general genre of pop punk that we acknowledge existing between like 2003 and 2013. Like, that version of pop punk is, yeah, it is very produced. It is very like they work very hard to like sound sonically good. It's more melodic than your average bear. And like that being like kind of like foreshadowed or foreran? Is that a word? Foreran? Like
it is
the
now.
You
just made it happen.
That is how English works, unfortunately.
It being foreran by like No Use for a Name is like what brings that. Like, just the melodies and the energy still, but like it is more controlled and sonically produced, which I like a lot, because I like clean stuff. Now I like having things clip a lot. Like, I like my Iggy Pop and shit, but a very, like, clean-sounding, like, not clean. Clean's the wrong word. Just crisp. A crisp-sounding song is something that I really, really enjoy.
And I get that. I come from the older school of things, though. I love my shitty, scratchy records and the pops and, you know, recording on less than high-end studio equipment. It gives songs character sometimes.
Oh, for sure. Like, there's no way a Black Flag song would be a Black Flag song without the fucking crackle, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Without
I get
the
it.
Tin can.
I mean, all those guys grew up not terribly far from where I am now, and when I was growing up, I remember hanging out with some of them on occasion. Actually.
Yeah, my dog got so mad. But
so mad that I hung out with the guys from Anti-Flag. So yeah. Pissed.
Anti-flag or black flag? I was mentioning black flag.
Oh, you were mentioning black flag. I'm sorry.
Anti-flag's still fucking rad and still fits what I was saying, though. They got a lot of crackle to for theirs.
Yeah, I like super-duper crackle where we're talking like street punk.
Where like, these like fucking Dead Kennedys shit. Like the really rough and tumble.
Oh, I love Dead Kennedys. I actually watched Jello Biafra speak during first Bush's presidency, and that was amazing. Like he was on a tour with other people that had no business being on the tour because he's an awesome public speaker. And then you had like Chris Novoselic from Nirvana, who was like trying to talk about campaign finance reform, but that was not a subject he's real familiar with. But hey, Chris Novoselic.
While we're here, I want to ask you straight up, no joke. Courtney Love killed Kurt Cobain, right? We agree?
Yeah, we can go with that. Sure, I don't care.
Wait, but hold up. Like, legit, shoot. Like, do you think that Courtney Love killed Kurt Cobain? Because I 100% think she had him killed. Like, that's not even a little bit of a joke. Like, for sure, 1,000,000%.
Welcome to Matt's new podcast, Conspiracy Corner.
This got deep and harsh, and I'm not sure what's going on.
Me either. I don't know.
You mentioned Chris Novoselic, like he like from Nirvana, like
yeah,
like that. That's whenever I think of Nirvana, that's always like the thing I think of is like Courtney Love.
Not the music, but a hit on Kurt Cobain by Courtney Love.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm sold on that narrative. I don't know that I don't believe that narrative. I don't know. Like. Yeah.
That's fair.
Man was not meant to know.
It obsessed my life in high school. I like read every like piece of media I could on it because I was just like, what the hell? So for like the group of Nirvana fans that I hang out around, that's like a very like big topic all the time. And so I wasn't sure if that crosses boundaries as much as I thought it did. Maybe it doesn't play quite as well.
Well, I think Dave Grohl has been quoted as saying that Nirvana considered themselves a punk band. I don't see it in any way, shape, or form. In their mind, apparently, what they were doing was punk rock.
Interesting. Thinking it's punk rock make it punk rock? How interesting.
As a thought experiment, I'm going to say no.
Okay, so what defines punk rock then?
Well, if you want me to pull up this Wikipedia article that I had just clicked over to.
On it.
Read it out. Let's see what y'all do with it.
The term punk rock was first used by a certain American rock critics in the early 1970s to describe 1960s garage bands and subsequent acts then perceived as stylistic inheritors. Between 1974 and 76, the movement now bearing the name punk rock emerged. It produced a new generation of bands such as Television, The Ramones in New York City, The Sex Pistols, The Clash, and The Damned in London, and The Saints in Brisbane. By late 1976, these acts were generally recognized as forming its vanguard. Now, where is, like, a description? Etymology? No, that ain't it. I'll keep looking. Travis, take it.
Okay. Generally speaking, punk rock, you're going to be the tempo is obviously kicked up. You're going to have your three chords going. Generally speaking, sometimes you'll get four. If they're feeling real adventurous, you'll get four chords.
If they're real fancy.
Yeah, if it's a super fancy punk outfit, you're going to get four chords in that song. But no, it's usually three chords, fast, loud, and man, there's so many genres that it's hard to encapsulate in just a definition of punk. But the drumming is usually just snare, snare, cymbal, go, snare, cymbal, go.
It's 4/4 and everyone loves it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can agree with that. Punk to me, like we said earlier, is energy encapsulated, whether that energy is like sadness or anger, like it is like, or joy, frankly, like it is within those lyrics. It's distorted guitars. It is a little bit of yelling. It is a lot of bit of self-loathing.
So hit me again. What we have that for punk rock, and y'all talked about pop punk. What are some of the other like subgenres, and what sets them apart? What really makes them distinct from kind of these two?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Matt. Okay. Like for me, when
I'm glad when I get a question right.
When I think of the different permeations of punk, like emo is a big one for me because that's one that I fucking love. Like your Paramore, My Chemical Romance, Fall Out Boy, Yellow Card, fucking Hawthorne ass Heights, like the Academy is Cobra Starship. Like you get a lot of that good 2004 to 2007 shit that is my jam. I think punk and punk rock are two different genres, but that's my own like reading of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's like thrash and shit, which like would gets real nasty. Like it gets real heavy. Like Travis, what am I missing? Am I missing anything?
There's a lot of subgenres of punk rock. It's crazy. We could do just a whole episode on subgenres if you really wanted to.
We just list them.
Yeah, like we could just go, like, because
cowpunk.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
Here's the thing. I was about to lead into things like that, where you're gonna start to see breakoffs. You've got like things like Oi, which was a subgenre that never branched out of punk rock, but you've got so many others that reach out to other styles of music and incorporate that into punk. Like he mentioned cowpunk, which is like country and punk music coming together. And then you've got a newer genre that is folk punk, which is a lot of street kids that are travelers. Like literally like when you think of a guy riding the rails and just traveling around, like that kind of folk style of music incorporated with punk. I mean, Days and Days is who I'm going to cite here, and they are absolutely masterful at folk punk. I love them so much. And they even throw in things like some black metal scream sometimes in the vocals when they're recording. It's so good.
Yeah, like with folk punk, like I know early Against Me was a lot of folk punk. And like now they're more processed and shit. And I love, like, don't get me wrong, White Cross is my favorite Against Me album. But like that folk punk Against Me and like that folk anarcho punk is something that is so, it's so unique in its sound and flavor.
Yeah, like straight up using a washboard sometimes in the music. Like old school wash punk, or wash punk, wow.
Wash punk. No. We just coined it. We're gonna get back to that here in a minute. I want y'all to tell me what wash punk is.
You're not gonna get a definition for that because that's not a thing that really exists.
I'll figure it out.
Let's just make up a thing. They don't know.
Yeah, we're gonna do that. Start letting that percolate in the back of your head. No, adding a washboard. That sounds banana pants, and I think I love it. And I've never even heard it.
Yeah. You know what? After this, I'll kick you some links to some Days and Days, and they're very good. Yes.
Do you have Spotify, Travis?
You know, I'm more a Pandora than a Spotify guy.
That's fair. I was going to say we could just make a playlist together and then throw it out there.
I will download some Spotify and do that with you if you want. Because
yes.
I think we have a while Absolutely. Before this episode goes out. And we...
No, it's tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
Guys, we just launched a new podcast. I am ruined for this month.
Okay, so we don't have time to make a playlist then.
Oh no, y'all do. Y'all have until tomorrow.
Yeah, but I have to be up at wonderful. Like 2:30 in the morning, so we don't have that much time.
Is it just give me a list of songs? Just shoot me a list of artists. I'm gonna just throw songs.
Okay, we will do that thing.
That's
all that being said, y'all can listen. Look forward to a Spotify playlist sometime soon.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, so let's kind of start aiming towards a wrap up here. This
okay.
has been a ton of fun. So there are two things that I want to do. One, I do want to hear more about this wash punk. just what's happening here? I'm picturing like a washboard, like one of those old fashioned wash buckets turned over on its side, maybe a mop in there somewhere.
That's literally folk punk.
Folk punk. Oh, okay, well we already have it then. Great, fantastic. I love it. God, this.
Oh, buddy, I'm gonna send you a YouTube link right after we're done here, and you go ahead and get you some of that.
All right, I'm gonna. That's gonna be great. Okay, then just one thing, because apparently Washpunk already exists.
Washpunk is a real thing that we all know.
I'm just never not gonna call folk punk Washpunk now, is really what we've learned.
And I know you talk about it all the time, too, so that's what's really gonna get difficult, is you talk about folk punk all the time.
Yeah,
all the time. never not talking about it. Never not talking about it. Okay, so here's the question I want to toss out there for y'all. If you were put in a god seat and you were able to just be like, I'm a chart a course for punk music for like the next evolution of it, what do you do?
I have an answer for this. I don't know if you do, Travis, if you want to not go first.
I'm going to think on this for a second. I think I have my answer, but I'm going to let you go first. You've got seniority on this podcast anyways.
The most important thing that punk can do at this time is to rat out the garbage that's in it. Like, get rid of the people that are cruel and using their platform for the wrong shit. It's really frustrating to, like, look at my genre that I love so very much and to see so many bands like Sorority Noise and Neck Deep be bad and cruel. Like, Neck Deep kicked out their bassist that was a garbage human, but Sorority Noise is in the middle of it right now. And, like, while punk skews across all ages, pop punk specifically skews young for its audience. And so taking advantage of people who are, like, very emotional in it, like, it's frustrating to me to see that happen in pop punk. So I would chart pop punk to improve in its, like, clientele that it has inside of it. That is my big thing. This happened 3 days ago, so it's still fresh on my mind, and I'm mad about Sorority Noise.
Okay, that's, listen, you use your powers for the good that you see fit to use them for. Travis, what is your choice?
Okay, so we didn't talk about it, but unfortunately there is a wing of punk rock that is just 100% trash, and it contains bands like, I'll name the most famous one, Screwdriver, which is white supremacist rock. Yeah.
Yes, fuck them.
Yeah, fuck Screwdriver. I'm glad that their lead singer died in a car accident, and I wouldn't say that about anybody. But
good night, White Pride. Fuck them.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Fuck
that. That's the thing we didn't talk about, is how anti-Nazi punk is at its core and how good that shit is. How, like, how fuck Nazis punk is and how against it. How, like, while skinhead culture, like, formed in punk music to agree, like, skinhead punks, like, they aren't allowed in scenes. Like, they aren't allowed in punk scenes that as much, and I fucking love that shit.
Although I will step up and say that not every skinhead is a racist.
He's a Nazi.
There's a difference. There's a lot of different groups of skinheads, and that's a different show, and that's a whole different topic.
Yeah.
But I've met some really cool skinheads that are just working class Joes that love their friends. They love they support their family, and they're just like, this is what I do. I love my punk rock. I just don't have a mohawk. Yep. I'm shaving my head.
I forgot the term used in that way too. It's so got so much.
Yeah, but no, as punk rock god, all I would do was eliminate all the white pride music that has come from punk rock and all the people producing it. And then I just let everybody else do what they're going to do, because punk rock don't want no control, and I don't want to guide them.
Fair.
I'm looking up the scene from SLC Punk where they just beat up Nazis, and I am.
I mean, look, see, here's the thing. Fitzgerald Wild, we want you to chase your bliss and do what you want to do. You know, find your peace, find your truth, wherever it is. Fuck a Nazi.
Yeah.
There we go.
That is a true statement. There is no truer statement than fuck a Nazi, okay?
That's what's so interesting
all
about
of them,
punk music.
Forever.
Is since it's such a genre of, like placed in rage and sadness and different emotions, like, there are people who prey on that shit. And they're one of them. And because you find a confused and angry person, and then you tell them something different. Like,
you tell them who they're mad at.
Exactly.
Right, but you, like, give them punk, a scapegoat, and that's wrong. You're taking advantage of somebody that's in an emotionally vulnerable state, and fuck that.
Yep. Good punk, not good punk. Like, a lot of punk will give you, like some hatred at yourself, but also give you a way to point it and be better. Like live in your failure, make yourself better kind of shit. And that is like, that's what I want. That's what I want. That's that shit.
No. Yeah. Okay. I like that a lot. I think that's a really good way to kind of tie it all up and kind of close the knot on this. So, let's see. That was a good last question. So I want you guys each, one last line. You can use it to give a recommendation for someone to go listen to someone specific, or just one last thing you want to say on the topic. And this time we'll start with Travis.
Okay. Let's see. The thing I can recommend, we had talked about wash punk or folk punk, whichever you wish to call it. So you know what? I think it'll probably end up on the Spotify list, but Drunken Misanthropic Loner by Days and Days is a fantastic song. Give it a listen. It's very good.
It's already on the Spotify list. Yeah. Put it on there.
Yeah, there you go. Like, even my wife is giving a double thumbs up as she's staring at Riley smiling on the screen.
Fantastic.
I'm always happy.
He really is. That's just a true fact about Riley.
That's not a terrible problem to have.
No.
I channel all my anger out through music.
There you go. That is safe and healthy. Riley, what's your last word?
My last word is, like, fucking, if you want some good music about loss, Touche Amore's last album, which I believe is called, let me maximize my screen here, Touche Amore's last album, Stage 4, is fantastic and about, like, it's about losing a grandparent, just like Sister Cities by the Wonder Years is. They're both amazing. Check them both out if you want very, very loud, very, very angry, and not knowing, like, sad, but it surfacing as anger in both of those. It's so fucking good. Check out The Wonder Years. Check out Touche Amore, The Front Bottoms, Modern Baseball, Tiger's Jaw, Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
Just be prepared for the Spotify list. That'll be out here soon.
Oh, man. When are we coming back to talk ska?
Hey, ska is the devil's jazz, and I'm here for it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, listen,
I guess that episode will be forthcoming sometime in the future.
If you want to hear it, then just just tweet at Matt to pick it up.
Huh.
what torturous hell have I found myself in? Okay, so first up, before we get to our where we can find everybody else, we do need to mention that the newest member of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts, The Lost Library, has been officially, and this is my baby, but I don't think it's overstating to say triumphantly launched. And both these guys are part of my rock awesome cast on the Grayscale campaign. You can find that over on the Lost Library feed. You can find that at Lost Library Cast on Twitter. If you like it and you want to talk about it, we use the hashtag Grayscale LL, gray spelled with an A.
So good. I'm having so much fun recording it right now with you.
I'm excited to record my first episode. I'm real pumped.
It's going to be a ton of fun. So, Travis, where can people find you online?
All right. Well, if you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter at DiceLobber, DiceLobber. And I also do another podcast called WTF Anime with another member of the Grayscales cast, which is Joe. Come check us out. I am not an anime fan, and Joe is the biggest weeb I've ever met. And he kind of just introduces me to some anime, and I give the layman's review of that thing.
You know, I felt your pain for like a tiny fraction.
Yeah.
When he tried to shove JoJo's down my throat, uh-huh. And I like choked.
Yeah, I straight had a month of that to do.
You are a stronger man than I, Travis. Riley, where can people find you on the internet?
Hi, if you want to find me on the internet, you can find me at Rev Rye Bread. That's Rev like Reverend, Rye Bread like Rye Bread. I'm also probably moderating a Discord that you go to, more than likely. I'm at Alpha Squad Junior, One Shot, Got It Memorized. Hey Jake and Josh, I moderate all over the place. But if you want to hear me talk in a recorded fashion, you can check out Alien Happy Hour on your podcast app, be it The Chat Room, which is recorded on Fridays, or released on Fridays, and it's just talking. Movie Club, which is released on Monday, where we watch a movie and then we talk about it. Or you can catch me Thursday nights on Alien Happy Hour Wrestling Federation, where we play WWE 2K18, and it's 100 created characters. And we, you know, commentate on the wrestling that happens. Right now, X23 is our women's champion. Weird Al Yankovic just beat the hell out of Elmo last time. He is the Alien Happy Hour champion. Beast has been feuding with Sonic the Hedgehog. And Trunks and Vegeta are our tag team champions. Right now getting chased down by, I believe, Yugi Moto and Joey Wheeler. So, that's Thursdays at 8:15, and it's fantastic.
It's a ton of fun. I've watched some of that. It's really good wrestling content.
You can find us on the internet at fifthdraw.com, follow us on Twitter at fifthdraw, or email us at social@fifthdraw.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Hoodley. If you enjoyed this episode, why not give us a rating and a review, or maybe tell a friend? Getting the word out helps us immensely. Our music is Arcade Montage by Lee Rosevere and can be found at the Free Music Archive.